In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Doing it right, everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright.
Like we always do at this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
I'ma get on the TV, mama. I'ma put shit down.
Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to the good life. When niggas is COD, won't even get pulled over in they new V. The good life, let's go on a living spree. Shit, they say the best things in life are free. The good life, it feel like Atlanta, it feel like LA, it feel like Miami, it feel like NY. Summertime shy,
now throw your hands up in the sky.
So I roll through good, y'all pop the trunk, I pop the hood, Ferrari. And she got the goods, and she got that ass, I got to look, sorry. Yo, it's got to be, cause I'm seasoned, haters give me them salty looks, Larry's. 50 told me, go ahead, switch the style up, and if they hate, then let them hate, and watch the money pile up. The good life,
I go for mine, I got to shine.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
I go for mine, I got to shine.
Now throw your hands up in the sky. I'ma get on the TV, mama. I'ma put shit down.
Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to the good life. Where we like the girls who ain't on TV, cause they got more ass than the models. The good life, so keep it coming with the bottles. So she feel booze like she bombed out Apollo. The good life, it feel like Houston, it feel like Philly, it feel like DC, it feel like VA, or the Bay, or yay. Ayy, this is the good life.
Welcome to the good life.
Homie, tell me what's good. Why I only got a problem when you in the hood?
Welcome to the good life.
Like I'm blue in the hood. The only thing I wish.
Wish a nigga would.
Welcome to the good life.
He probably think he could, but I don't think he should.
Welcome to the good life.
He told me go ahead, switch the style up, and if they hate, then let them hate, and watch the money pile up. The good life,
go for mine.
Yeah,
I got to shine.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
Go for mine. I got to shine.
Now throw your hands up in the sky. I'ma get on the TV, mama. I'ma put shit down.
You ever pop champagne on a plane while getting some brain with it? As she said, I never seen snakes on a plane. Whether you broke or rich, you gotta get this. Having money's not everything that having it is. I was splurging on trips, but when I get my car back activated, I'm back to Vegas. Cause I always had a passion for flashing. Before I had it, I closed my eyes and imagined the good life.
Better than the life I live when I thought that I was gonna go crazy. And now my grandmama ain't the only girl calling me baby. And if you're feeling me now, then put your hands up in the sky. Let me hear you say, hey.
Welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan Bailey. It is Friday, folks. We have made it to Friday. Man, 5 days in a row. We did it. We are so close to the holidays and New Year's and all of that stuff that I'm so scared of. the loyal listeners can probably tell. Sandra told me, like, I can tell your voice. Something was different in it. Thank you, Sandra, for noticing. So your boy, it turns out it rained in LA. And for people that I know, you guys probably, it's like you guys know me in terms of my health. And now I'm really freaked out of getting sick because I've gotten sick so many times. So I woke up with a sore throat and I had it last night, but then I woke up and it was worse and I got freaked out. But then I was like, okay, there's a change in weather, blah, blah, blah. And today was supposed to be Real Housewives of Orange County episode 2 recap, which I took an insane amount of notes. And if you saw that once, you guys saw that one scene with Terry and Heather when they started laughing in front of Nicole's face. And you guys, I was ready to blow your eardrums with that. I am ready to blow your eardrums with that, but I hope you're proud of me. I have learned, it's only taken so many years of my life, but I have learned that I'm not going to push my voice tonight because I want to be able to enjoy it and not get sick, because what happens is then my body breaks down for a week and I'm just in misery as the holidays, and you guys know. So I'm going to be doing that over the weekend when I'm sure that I'm, like, here's the deal. I'm probably going to wake up tomorrow. Everything's going to be great. It was just an off day. And I've been drinking Throat Coat, hot tea with honey, lozenges, hot shower. I've done it all. So I've taken the necessary precautions. I'm trying not to be an idiot with this stuff. But my main thing was I didn't want to let you guys down. And I know you're like, oh, who cares? There's so many podcasts. But I really, really love doing these recaps. And I think you guys dig them too. So just be very aware that the OC recaps will be happening every week. I'm going to try to do this tomorrow if I feel good. And it'll probably be up over the weekend, if not on Monday. And I'll just release double episodes with Sophie and this, because I have a lot to say about OC. The second episode was, there was so much goodness in there. And I took so many notes. It took me 2 hours to take. I've always told you guys, I know when a show is good when it takes me 2 hours to take notes on a 43-minute show, because I have to keep pausing and rewinding to try to get what they all said. And I got to tell you, so far, I am really loving OC. In fact, Lala Kent actually commented on one of my Instagram posts saying that she loves OC too. And I was like, girl, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? I played Kanye at the beginning there, that mashup with Daft Punk, because Kanye and Drake played a concert together in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, which is a stadium, and they streamed it on Amazon. So I watched the entire thing, and here's another reason I was smart, you guys. My friend Lara, who loves Kanye, invited me to go to the show tonight, and I turned it down. I knew it wasn't going to be great to be out in the cold. And I just wasn't feeling it. And for me to turn down a concert, you guys know I live for concerts, but I'm glad I did. I mean, it was good. Kanye played so many hits, more than I've ever seen. I've seen Kanye a lot, and he was playing all bangers. But then Drake's set, I think there must have been something off with the time, because I think Drake did his first set, and it wasn't any hits. So I think his second set must have got canceled, where he was going to do all hits. I don't know. It was weird. But I forgot, you know, Kanye is such a complicated figure because me and so many of us, I grew up on that music, man. I loved so many great moments in my life. That was the soundtrack to his songs. And so to hear those again and him out there, and I was just like, man, I love, and I know that's the whole, you know, he doesn't have to be who we want him to be, but sometimes it's nice to revisit that stuff, you know. Sometimes it's nice. I remember I saw Prince a lot, and Prince, I remember, was in this phase. I think it was like his Musicology album, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but, you know, he wasn't playing his hits, quote unquote, and, you know, he was still amazing, like, you know, musical genius, but if you're not, you know, it's not those classic albums. And then I remember he headlined Coachella, and I was like, well, you know, I've seen him a couple times. I bet he's just going to be doing his, like, songs that nobody knows. And he fucking, it was wall-to-wall bangers. And I was like, this guy came to play. Like, I love it when, you know, they're aware of the songs that we love, but they're artists, so they got to do things that they love. But sometimes there's a magical moments where they either combine artistry and popularity, or they put artistry to the side and just do stuff for the fans, you know? So it was cool to see Kanye do all hits, and I'm glad Pete Davidson didn't come out. I'm glad Kim Kardashian there. I was really scared, you guys, that Travis Scott was going to be there, because, you guys, he did. Travis Scott did an hour-long interview with Charlemagne the God that was released today, I believe, or released Thursday. And he has taken no responsibility. I mean, he says he feels tragic and all that stuff, but that was not his responsibility. You know, you guys got to listen to it. I didn't realize what kind of made me mad. It turns out I didn't realize over Thanksgiving he went golfing with Mark Wahlberg and Michael Jordan. And I was like, man, wow. Like, maybe, you know, I'm sure that was for his spirit and, you know, I'm sure he does feel bad, but maybe don't, you know, go golfing over Thanksgiving with huge celebrities. Like, it just, I heard that and I was like, wow, out there on the links, huh? You know, like, I went through a divorce. I didn't go out of my house for like a month, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you were part of something responsible for many, many deaths and just, you know, PTSD for potentially 50,000 people, which, by the way, we talk a lot about that in today's episode. So, you know, before I start rambling, because I want to talk to you guys about everything, and now I have a list of stories built up and all of that stuff. So I just want to make sure I feel good. I hope you guys are cool with that. But I thought this week, I'm so proud of this week, you guys. Ebony Williams, I know some of you guys don't like her, but I think if you listen, I'm really proud of that interview. You know, yesterday's Rue Powell from Discovery Plus, that was a very intense interview, but I'm so happy we did it. Of course, Sophie, we had the Queen of Versailles on, and I keep meaning to tell you, there was something cut out of that interview. I mean, it was up there in the beginning, and then I talked to a friend or a listener that I consider a friend that I really respect, and, you know, the Queen of Versailles, she had said something that was incorrect, and I did not stop her. And this is also, you know, kind of thinking about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which was a batshit crazy episode this past week. But Mary Cosby said that bullshit about, you know, oh, you know, Mexicans and the cartels, you know, all of this stuff. It was just craziness, and it shows kind of what a, you know, kind of the racism that Mary Cosby holds, which is very interesting when she says that she, you know, that people are being racist against her, but her own internal biases are wild, you know, and we know it's Mary Cosby, so sometimes she gets this weird pass. And by the way, this is what I talked about with Ebony and Ebony K. Williams this week in regards to Ramona. But there was a thing, and in my, so we were talking, you know, the Queen of Versailles and myself and Jackie, and we were talking about the death of her daughter due to an overdose. And she brought up that the drugs were coming in because of open borders and things like that, which is just not true. And in that moment, I was aware of what she said. And I didn't say, I just listened. And in my head, I thought, oh, shit. But I didn't, and this is where I failed as a host, I didn't want in that moment, or at least I thought I shouldn't be like, well, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I didn't do that at all. And I left that in initially, and I woke up to a message that I read, and I went back and listened to it, and it was kind of a failure on my part. And I know we were talking about something deep, and I didn't want to get it onto something else, but there was no excuse for that. So I did take it out of the show, and I wanted to let you guys know, because I'm not trying to pull any kind of fast ones on you. And I think these last couple of years have been, you know, I think they've been a learning experience for all of us. But it was a, I don't know, it was interesting. I've thought about it all week. And I'm sorry to get so serious right now. It's just kind of my voice is also lower because my throat hurts. But I wanted to bring that up to you guys just to know that I do know right from wrong. And I should have said something in the moment. And it was in a very, I think, important lesson that, I don't know, all of these things are kind of like things that you are trying to get better at, or, you know, that's why I was kind of bummed out about that and my what I did. And then I was very happy about the Ebony interview because I was like, I thought that really connected. And I'm happy about this next interview because it was the same day I did the Ebony interview. I did like three interviews that day, and this was the last one of the day, and it was a lot of fun. These girls, these ladies, they're brilliant. They're lawyers, or, you know, one's a lawyer, and so one's almost a lawyer, but they're also friends, and they have a great sense of humor. They're smart as whips. I really highly recommend their podcast. It's called Allegedly Bravo, and I think you guys are really going to dig it. The Instagram is the same name. I know they just started a Patreon as well. Their names are Lauren and Cash, and I think you're going to love them. And I thought, I can't do the OC, but I wanted to leave with something that's informative, but also funny. I think we had a really good time. At the end of that, I was like, you know what? That it couldn't have gone better. And, you know, we were just all laughing, and I was like, I can't wait to talk to these ladies again. And, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts anymore, and I listened to a couple episodes of theirs, especially the Astroworld one, which I talk about, and it was very heavily detailed and kind of changed my opinion on a couple of things, which I think is the highest compliment when you listen to something or read something, to actually absorb it and to have it change the way that you think a little bit. But I don't want to say this is not even super serious, all of this, because we laugh a lot. And I thought this might be a good way to start the weekend for you guys. And then when I get my voice at 100%, I am going to kill my Terry DeBro imitation. You guys thought Lisa Rinna cackled loud. Terry DeBro, baby. It's good. And I'm not going to even do the voice now because I already can feel my voice hurt. So, okay. I hope you guys have the best weekend ever. Like I always say, hang out with the people that you love. Hope you eat something good. Hope you drink something good. Hope you see something cool. Hope you listen to good music. I hope you start planning for the holidays because you're going to see all your family. I hope you're safe this weekend. Remember, COVID's still going around, so be as safe as you possibly can. And I will talk to you guys at least over the weekend or not. And also, Patreon baddies, all you guys, only half of our Patreon subscribers have filled out the holiday card form to get a holiday card. And I want to send out, this is a personalized holiday card that me and Meditza Lopez have worked on. So please fill out that form if you'd like to get a holiday card before Christmas. And that is it, you guys. Thank you so much for everything. And I will talk to you very soon. And here is Allegedly Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today, I have somebody that I want you guys to check out. They're a newer podcast, but I think it's really worth your time because they're talking about a lot of the same Bravo issues, legal issues, about other pop culture events and things that we all talk about, but they're doing it from the perspective of two lawyers, or through that kind of lens that I think is so important. I mean, we make a lot of jokes here, but there is another side of it, and you really want the factual things. And I listened to their episode they did a couple of weeks ago on the Astroworld tragedy, and I thought it was just so it was so informative, and it really made me think differently of the whole tragedy. And I mean that as the highest compliment, but we're going to talk about a lot of different things today. So let's introduce you to them. Allegedly Bravo is the podcast. Cash and Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much.
Hello.
So how did you guys meet? Why are you doing this? There's no reason anybody should grow up to be podcasters. What happened?
You want to say, Cash? Go ahead.
No, you could go, Lauren.
Okay. So we met in law school, and, we actually met in line getting meatballs because our law school had a bodega downstairs, and, she was telling me all about how she likes her meatball subs and giving
Did you go to law school where there was like a big meatball contingent of
a meatball factory.
Yeah, yeah. Like the old yeah. spaghetti company law factory. Yeah.
We went to school down in San Diego at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, which, by the way, notable alumni include Emily Simpson from The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Did Shane Simpson go there? But we
no.
Shane just passed, we found out, on Orange County last week because of a technicality.
I know. I know. I wish I could have been so lucky, but I just straight up failed.
I know. I heard. Well, we'll get into that in a second. But you guys met getting meatballs. And then how did you both discover that you liked Bravo?
Oh, it was just like instant. We pretty much just like fell instantly into best friendhood. And
yeah, I think with any Bravo addict, it comes up very quickly in a conversation. And
yeah, Lauren, how do you test the waters? Like, what is the first Bravo reference anybody will be like, oh, that's total Countess Luann thing you just said. Like, what is the thing that will be like safe enough to like throw out there that somebody can pick it up without thinking you're weird if they don't watch it?
Yeah, I do always like a catchphrase like, oh, that's so chic, c'est la vie. And then I'm like, was that you? Do you get it?
And my favorite quote is that even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Oh my God. So you guys meet, you're, and how many years ago is this?
Gosh.
My gosh. I've lost all concept of time with
2014.
2014.
Okay. Yeah. So math, 6 years. Is that six or seven?
Math is hard.
Carry the one. I think, yeah. I think you're in the ballpark. So then when does it come apart where you're like, I want to take this a step further and actually speak about these issues? Was it the Erica Jane trial? The Erica Jane stuff? What actually made you think like we should jump into this and kind of explain our thoughts?
So we always had this idea to start a podcast. We couldn't really figure out what area. We knew we wanted it to be legal, but we're also not two gals that are super serious. You know, we take our education and our profession seriously, but we do like to have fun and we have a sense of humor. We like to talk trash about the housewives and gossip. And so I think it was always there. And then when the Erica Jane stuff happened, and really when Jen Shaw got arrested, I remember us picking up the phone and being like, this is crazy. Like, we've got Teresa Giudice, we've got the Erica Jane, you know, we've got the little arrests here and there. But with Jen Shaw getting arrested on camera, we're like, we've got to cover this.
And just so you know, I mean, you guys started the podcast before a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You mean when Jen Shaw initially got arrested when it actually happened and it like came down before the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in March. So it really was in March, and we just really picked it up and bought our microphones on Amazon and we're recording. And if you listen to our earlier episodes, our audio is very a novice take on podcasting, but yeah, it's kind of evolved from there. And our housewives keep disappointing us and giving us
more content.
Well, I don't even think, it is weird. We grew up with the housewives, but at the same time, I feel like there's never been a time where so many housewives have had legal actions or just the whole legal profession seems to be geared towards housewives now where it didn't. I mean, I know there was like Teresa and things of that nature, but it seems like there is such a spotlight on all of these ladies in terms of like what they're doing criminally and allegedly and all of these words that we didn't use as we use them all the time. Now, what do you think it is? Why do you think these kind of people are attracted to being housewives in the first place?
Because they're fame obsessed and they're narcissists.
Yeah.
And I think that the housewives have really propelled into the reality show ether in the last couple of years. I mean, of course, all of us OGs who have been around and been with it since the beginning, but I think it's really gained steam and popularity. And there's, especially with social media, TikTok, like we're seeing our housewives in commercials now. Kyle Richards is doing Christmas movies. Like there is just this like,
wait, Halloween isn't a Christmas movie. That's, no, that's a Halloween movie. Like, oh, you mean the Hallmark movie? Okay. I got it. I was like, what kind of sick person are you? That's not a Christmas movie.
I mean, for me, I love Halloween. So I could watch it on Christmas, but you know, there really is this like obsession with fame. And I don't know if Lauren agrees or if she has a different theory, but that's where I stand.
I also think it has to do with the fact that like, we've really watched these women evolve from like being straight up housewives, like married with kids and babies, running carpool, to these women who have like started businesses, started careers on their own, and now have like way more opportunity to kind of step in the mud, you know?
And they always step in the mud. I mean, so we've had two, the big shining spotlights on Housewives in this last couple of years, or this last year and a half, has been, of course, the Erica Jayne and the Jen Shah. Now, the difference, of course, as we've talked about, and I know you guys know listening at home, you know this ad nauseum, is that Erica Jayne has not been charged with anything, whereas Jen Shah, she is kind of the head, the top of the pyramid. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Even that tier A as the Assistant U.S. Attorney's office has stated in terms of her criminal behavior.
Are you on your show? Do you, I mean, I've listened to a couple of episodes that haven't really been Bravo related. Even your newest episode, like I said, goes through an update on Astroworld, the Alec Baldwin tragedy, the Jussie Smollett thing. You know, you really, the wide range of pop culture stories. But do you guys give personal opinions on what you think, or is it very cut and dry because the law can be very cut and dry?
I think one of the fun parts about like doing this with my best friend, and I'll just speak for myself, is like, we really get to like speculate a lot and sort of like, you know, we have this relationship where we can like talk normally with each other, but also like with this deep understanding of the law. So we're really able to like speculate, give our opinions. And we always say like, this isn't legal advice. This is, we're just here to have fun, and we're here to chit chat and do elevated shit talking, you know?
Yeah.
Is the law fun?
It can be.
And let me tell you, for anybody out there, if any of your listeners who are in law school or thinking about going to law school, the housewives and these situations are what we call the perfect fact pattern. And in law school, you get these crazy wild 2-3 page fact patterns that you have to go through, analyze, and apply law to the set of facts, you know, and
give
your legal analysis. And really, that's what we're doing in our podcast. Like, we're sitting down and looking at a set of facts and applying it to the law and giving our opinions, shit talking, giving that little bit of legal analysis. And we're not trying to be a lecture. Because there are, go listen to NPR, go listen to the New York Times, you know, Washington Post, you'll get that. But here we're really just trying to have a conversation and make it fun and understandable for the average person.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, take us through something like Erica Jayne from the outside when you look at, look at her case, or it's not really a case. It's about like money and keeping money and all that. If you apply what you were just talking about from an outsider's perspective with as much shit talking as you can, how would you guys, it's really hard to sum up, but where do you think we stand with her, and where do you think we're going next?
Oh, that is such an intense, layered question.
Thank you so much. That's really what I'm known for. It's my NPR and me. Yeah.
I mean, am I allowed to curse?
Yes, please. My God,
I think she's fucked. And
but in what way? Just financially? Or
financially.
Yeah.
And we talk about this a lot on our podcast. Like, we really try to break the process down so people understand, because I think it becomes convoluted and confusing, the civil criminal world. Like, Jen Shah's in criminal land. You know, she's facing prison time.
Yeah.
She's being prosecuted by the feds, which is, we can get into that later. Like,
bad.
That's
bad.
That's not great. Like, that's a hard, they always get you on conspiracy regardless. And then we have Erica Jayne, who's in civil land and bankruptcy land. And so she's being sued, you know, by, we've got Girardi Keese's trust. We've got Tom Girardi. We've got the victims, and hers, she's just going to be bankrupted basically.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to start from the beginning. And I think that's going to be difficult. When I say she's going to be fucked, is because she is somebody who prides herself, as we all know, on money and wealth and, you know, social stature. And this is really hard for her. I don't know if she'll face criminal proceedings, because we haven't really seen evidence that she was you know, like,
yeah,
involved part, really,
or with knowledge.
Tom was more so the actor.
Yeah. Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, he really took advantage of the California legal system in really disgusting ways. You know, studying the law, and I my roommate's a lawyer, and she always tells me, she's like, you know, we, you know, lawyers get a bad rap, but like, we really, you know, this is very serious. We do respect the law. We do respect, you know, there is a reason we are lawyers. We do believe in this. And what he did was so beyond the pale that, and the California Bar Association was even a part of this. I mean, is that shocking to you guys being from law, you know, coming from law school?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a member of the bar yet. I have yet to pass the bar. Like, been trying so hard.
I know. But I, like, saw, I heard that in one of your episodes.
So, and
I
was like,
oh, I'm the Shane, she's the Emily, but we might have to, we might have to adjust that now. But
yeah, wait. You know what? Really quick. I know what I love that you said. You said, I'm going to take a second to feel down about this, and then I'm getting right back up on the horse. That, yeah. I think that's what you said. And that's amazing. Like, that's, it's really not about like how, you know, you fall. It's really about how you get back up. Cause this, this stuff is hard. My roommate like moved from Chicago, and then she failed the first time and had to, you know, retake.
It's really so hard. It's hard. And it's like, it really gets you down. And then honestly though, like doing this podcast and seeing things like what, to bring it back to Tom Girardi, like what Tom Girardi did and how he really disrespected his position, like on, as a member of the bar, you know, it's like, it makes you realize like, okay, I need to keep doing this. I need to get back up on the horse, because there needs to be good attorneys out there who are good people who are going to like really fight for their clients. And most every attorney I know does. This is like a very crazy situation.
I think obviously if you talk to anybody who goes to law school, they probably have this like anecdotal story about the reason, the moment they realized they wanted to be an attorney. And a lot of times it has to do with helping people, you know, helping indigent clients have access to confident, strong legal representation. And it's really disheartening to see somebody take advantage of a vulnerable group of people to finance his life and to finance his wife's career. Allegedly.
Well, allegedly, that is, I mean, allegedly, bravo. But Tom has a lot in common with what we celebrate in a lot of housewives. It's complete like ego. It's like over, you know, these baubles and like this, you know, I was talking about this yesterday of just like with these women that marry for, you know, allegedly not love, but like, I wonder if you could actually talk honestly with Erica Jane, if saying like, do you have, what's your relationship with money now? Do you regret, you know, what, do you have the same, you know, like want and desire for the best things in the world? Or have you realized that's a falsity and you actually would just really want to be in love?
I don't think it's changed. And this is me speculating, obviously, but I don't think it really has changed her,
I know,
her perception, because look at how she handled and rebounded from this. Fall.
Yeah.
She went and got a huge house to rent, even though to her standards, it was something small, but still wearing the Dolce & Gabbana Versace robe, going out to get her pizza, you know, still has the Range Rover, all these nice cars and all of this things that we of the common folk over here see as something of value and prestige. And it's, I think what a lot of people wanted her to do was have this humbling moment where she gets a one bedroom apartment and has a roommate and drives her Honda Civic from
Living Tom Sandoval's old apartment where the microwave didn't work with the, you know,
like, with the AC unit and you gotta like put your tinfoil hat on to get the electricity going. Like,
but I mean, like the ego right there is, I even saw her tonight, like all gussied up for the People's Choice Awards. If she does have to file bankruptcy, I know Tom has already filed bankruptcy. If she does, and that goes through, are you allowed then like legally to be bragging about what you're wearing and glam squads and all of that stuff? Because I don't think that's going to stop on the show. Like if she does file for bankruptcy, in your opinion, are you allowed to then like brag about anything you get from that point on?
Hey, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you could say anything really, but it's like, is it smart? Not really.
But like she's not really gone with the smart way to
right,
go.
Exactly. You know? It's like, but I think at this point we've seen that apparently the people who get arrested on TV just like absolutely love returning back to the screen and getting back in front of that camera and showing up with their lawyers even. And, you know, well,
they always say, you know, a murderer always goes back to the scene of his crime at some point. Like there's like, I think the amazing thing about Housewives is that there's not a lot of, I learned from my behavior and I grew wiser. Like that's
the best part.
We almost count. We bank on that. You know, we bank on them not learning. I think what's different for me and a lot of the people I talk with is that, I don't know, it's like starting to make me feel icky. You know, like I like when people lie and cheat, like lie and cheat like all day long. Yes. Cheat on your spouse, which is just gross in itself. But when it starts, like you're stealing money. Potentially we watched you spend all the money and we know where that money was from. And then you kind of feel, or Jen Shah, like, it starts to make us like, I just want housewives to like lie and cheat. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about stealing anymore.
It's,
you know?
Yeah. It's because we want our housewives to lie and cheat in their own little bubble and for it to be a victimless lying and cheating. Like you be a sociopath on screen, you know, be in as much credit card debt as you want and whatever. But when you start to bring in these other people who don't want to be a part of this life and who are only trying to get by to live and pay for their surgery and money that they're owed, their skin grafts. That's when I think even the lowest level of bottom feeders of Bravo fans, it bothers them.
Yeah.
Well, when I saw Homeland Security pop on screen, I'm like, whoa. Ooh. I mean, like everybody was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, wait a sec. Like, are we in trouble now? Like, I mean, like, Homeland Security, they're supposed to protect, like, wait, we need protected from Jen Shah. Like it puts it into a whole nother level. And, you know, the Erica Jane aside, Jen is actually the perpetrator where she was part of a criminal organization kind of. And at the top of that, in your legal opinion, how fucked is she?
Ooh, major.
Okay. So I was a former prosecutor for about 2 years before I left my job during COVID to then go on to different ventures and start this podcast. But I was doing little misdemeanor crimes, but I was still very much involved in the criminal justice system. And I have a family friend whose wife was prosecuted criminally at the federal level. And when I tell you, they'll get you even if they don't have enough evidence to prove the crime, they'll get you on the conspiracy. And she went to prison for 16 months. I think that Jen Shah is probably facing a couple years in prison.
Oh, and I mean, definitely.
Is she going to a maximum security prison? No, she's probably going to go to one of those little boot camps that, was it Felicity Huffman?
Yeah, Felicity Huffman and who was the other?
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin, yeah. She's going to go to one of those, but it's not looking good based on the evidence that Lauren and I have reviewed and the motions that we've reviewed, the complaint, the everything.
If I find out there's free Wi-Fi in prison, I will commit a financial crime immediately. Like that's what I do all day anyways. I'm in a prison of my own already.
Right. Like,
that is you reading the documents and things like that. That's where I really think there's got to be an easier way to write these documents.
Oh my
God. The form, the double spacing. Like I know this is a dumb question, but when did this start the way you guys write your legal page? Like this is, I've looked at some of my roommate's stuff. I'm like, we can cut down 50 of these pages easily. You know?
Oh my God. It's insane. And it's like, it's gotten so much better. Like this is easier than like back in the day when they were like, henceforth, therefore. Yeah.
The language is so bizarre. Like, is there a final draft for lawyers where, because I feel like, do you just have to remember all these different formats? Like,
oh, no. Well,
I do. Well, I was the assistant, so I had to remember like 28 lines, 12.5 font, like all that kind of stuff.
Well, and every court's different. So you have a local rule of court that sets guidelines for their motions. You have the Court of Appeals, federal courts. Like there are different types of guidelines for each court.
Yeah.
So nobody can do like when everybody used to make their like AOL Instant Messenger and you could have like different fonts and all that. So like nobody's like, wow, I really love these little fonts.
You know what? They'll kick it out.
Well, they do in what is called a pro per where you represent yourself. You do see a lot of that.
Really? Wow. Like can you put like memes and stuff in there? Like
I've seen some crazy things in my day, especially defendants who are representing themselves. We would get a lot of sovereign citizens and a lot of like constitutionalists that would want to represent themselves in court. And we would see very interesting things.
So Jen Shah, we have a court date. I believe it's March 22nd in the Southern District of New York. We start the trial. Stuart Smith, her second in command, has supposedly flipped. Now, if you say Jen Shah is going to get a couple of years, now they have not sentenced Stuart yet, but I'm assuming the deal isn't like he doesn't get any time. He just gets a lessened sentence for his participation, I believe. Do you know what sentencing guidelines are for somebody that participates? Or I mean, somebody that actually flips and starts working towards their case?
So it depends, because really at this point, we don't know for sure that he's a cooperating witness with the prosecution.
I thought we did hear that. I thought we heard that he was or something, right?
I haven't seen a document that says that. I've only seen that he entered a plea, and I think it's just simply speculation at this point.
Well, I'm sorry. Bravo meme account said it happened. So I know it's got to be true. Like,
so it's on, he did enter a plea where he switched his plea from not guilty to guilty. And we can just kind of we assume that that means that he's going to testify against Jen Shah and turn her in. But we don't know for sure. Like, that's just kind of like what we're hypothesizing, or whatever you say. Hypothetical.
The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker, the Hulu special. Did you watch it, breaking down the Jen Shah case?
I did. And I didn't love it.
Why didn't you love it?
Lord and I have talked about this. It did not give us anything we didn't already know, except for we got to meet Koa, which was great. And we were exposed to the volatility of Jen Shah in those video clips and the audio clips that she's appears to be physically and verbally abusive to her staff.
Yeah.
That was a positive, as well as hearing victim statements from other lead list predatorial cases. So that was nice, but really we didn't get anything new, in my opinion. What did you think?
I liked it. I do have to say, I thought it was interesting that they brought the aunt in, the auntie. And I was wondering, like, so I had so many questions about that, because it seemed like the auntie was kind of saying that, like, because Jen was bullied, that's why she is maybe committing a crime.
That's what I said. It gave her origin story of, like, this is the why of is because she was ashamed of her skin and she was bullied because of it. And, like, this leads to financial crimes. But I don't know. I've like you guys, I mean, this is what I think about all day nonstop. And I think there's, like, this darker, I mean, I do believe there is evil in people. I know there's a lot of good in people as well, but I think she is a full blown liar. Like, I think but by the way, full blown liars are really entertaining and warm at times. Like, I don't believe, like, full blown liars aren't, like, just 100% evil. There's still some amazing things. And, like, but I believe she is so used to lying. I believe every aspect of her life probably has a lie in it. And that is just how she is used to living her life. So when shit like that happens, where she gets a phone call saying to leave, her pulse doesn't get raised. She's just used to this anyways, you know?
I was just going to say, I think she's a pathological liar.
Exactly.
And so it just echoes what you just said. But I really believe that she's a pathological liar and she spiraled. And that's why we're starting to see this in the early stages of the season. You're seeing this, like, reckoning that she's having, because I don't think she liked the way that she came off last season. And so she's coming to terms with, you know, things that she said to people. She's going on this, like, apology tour, like Ramona, because she doesn't like the way that the optics of how she was portrayed last season. And so I think that narcissist gets triggered, which is like, oh my gosh, I need to make sure people like me. And so I don't think she's really ever telling the truth. I think she's just telling people what they want to hear.
Well, I think she controls the narrative too, by them leapfrogging and pointing out an issue of, like, oh, you're being racist towards me. It's almost like a leapfrog of, like, okay, but I'll tell you why I'm such, insanely angry. It's because I'm being, there's racist reacting to me. Like, it just immediately leapfrogs over to something. And I feel like she's very comfortable accusing people of huge things. Now, Mary is, on the other hand, you know, Salt Lake is kind of doing this, not wonderful thing, but it's a very interesting thing where they don't even have to focus on Jen because Mary's there. And Mary's a different form of, like, I don't even know if it's necessarily lying. It's just her mind doesn't work in a normal mind's way. So she just, I don't even like, I try to think about the motivations and all of this stuff. And Mary, I know we can't use really the word crazy, but there is something that doesn't add up with me. I mean, I really don't even know how to say it, but she's grasping at straws. So she says the wildest shit.
Yeah. I feel like with Jen, I feel like Jen is just a bad seed, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie where it's like, there's a bad seed, like just not a good person. And with Mary, I feel like she's just kind of kooky. Like she definitely grew up in a very strange environment with like a very matriarchal society. I mean, clearly she married her grandpa. Like that's not normal. Like,
well, no, I mean, my family, we've come from a long line of people that married their grandfathers. So like, that's, I really would prefer if you didn't speak about what you don't know about. Yeah. Little girl. Yeah.
Little girl. That was wild.
When she says that, the little girl.
Yeah.
To Whitney, it like, you see the darkness in her.
Yes. Yeah. And well, that's the other thing. I mean, also like she's kooky, but let's not like, I feel like we do this with Ramona a little bit too, of like the kookiness, but also she said in this past week's episode of like, well, you know, the Mexicans bringing all the drugs in and all.
Disgusting. I'm
like, that's just gross. I mean, like that's not kooky. And for somebody that says everybody's racist towards her, like she has with Whitney and Heather Gay, is that you are racist yourself, ma'am. You know, like there's some wild things coming out of your mouth that it's just disgusting, you know?
Yeah.
I think so. Lauren, this is Mary is somewhat, I feel like Lauren's passion project and the cultiness of the alleged cultiness of her church.
Yeah.
And I feel like people give Mary the benefit of the doubt because, and this is Lauren talked about this on our Patreon, that because she is a minority in all aspects, one, because she's an African-American in Utah, two, she's a Christian in a predominantly Mormon area, three, she married her grandpa. And so I think we try to give her the benefit of the doubt and we don't hold her accountable for her actions and the things that she says.
Well, it's almost because we know she's kooky, so we don't hold her accountable. Like Ramona, I feel like is a little bit of the same way until recently. We're like, well, that's Ramona. She just says horribly racist comments. Yeah. She's kooky like that, you know?
But we're finally starting to see the darkness peek through the kookiness and we're seeing who they really are. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I mean, we truly saw who Ramona was last season and it was vile.
Yeah, it really was. And Ultimate Girls Trip, you see it as well. If you've been following that, I mean, it just, this seems to be who this person is. And, you know, I was talking with Ebony Williams today, actually, from Roni. And I was just saying, you know, I've heard the Ramona, like, I keep comparing it to like a musician and you hear the song, their most popular song, but if you see them all the time and hear that song all the time, you're like, okay, but I get it. I don't need to hear Rocket Man anymore.
Right.
And Ramona, we've gotten Ramona's greatest hits again and again and again. And at a certain point, if the character doesn't learn, if there's no actually arc, which we know we don't like our housewives to learn, but at a certain point, it just gets old and you got to move on at a certain point.
Right. It's like, at least evolve the trash human part, like at least be a different version of your trashy self. Like,
I think in this time period, we want to believe, or at least I want to believe that we can change and we can do better, or say, you know, especially after the last couple of years we've gone through, we can't go back. We got to go forward, you know?
She like fights that though. Like, I feel like Ramona truly digs her heels in and she's like, I'm not going forward. And in fact, you're all crazy for going forward, you know?
The but only thing that's going forward is this poop I'm flinging everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
you guys, it's so bad. She needs a diaper. I think Ramona's more capable of growing as a human than Mary is.
Why do you think that? Just be.
I think Mary is so stuck in this. I mean, for God's sake, she married her grandpa because her grandma wanted her to. And we learned that was not written in a will. That she just felt like she had to do that. And I think a lot of it was motivated by money and driven by money, that she was going to inherit her grandmother's finances as well as the church. And I just don't see, if she was willing to do that and to stick with it for so long, like you can tell she's miserable in her relationship with her husband. She's vocalized it, I think, in the reunion. And it's like, if she's that stubborn and willing to stay in that. I just don't see any self-reflective growth coming from the show. I don't know.
Yeah. Is there other cases or people or situations that you guys have your eyes on recently of like, that looks like it could, like, I've always heard things about Joey Gorga's real estate deals and, you know, like, do you guys have your eyes on a bunch of things or anything that you're like, if I was a betting man, I would, maybe something's going to happen down the line with this.
I feel like, I've already kind of heard rumblings of Whitney's husband being a little bit of an MLM multi-level marketing guy. So well,
somebody pointed out to me, MLMs are not illegal. So he is that, but then certain, and maybe that is why Whitney knew, like, I know all the lead lists. I know, you know, she knew all the information, you know?
But, and then I would also say, oh, you didn't hear that?
No, breaking news.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, that's, I think
it's old news, but
three MLMs, I believe, through the years. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, maybe that's why Whitney knew all that information on the bus about like lead lists and good leads and bad leads. But
it just seems fishy.
Well, so, I mean, but by the way, also, especially in this day and age, I mean, if I just sometimes don't, with the Jen Shaw, we saw that like in 2014 or 17, they were made aware that they were being investigated and they went harder. They went underground. They started using the Telegram app. They started using encrypted messages like services instead of like cleaning up their act, which I just think is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jen Shaw was deposed about a case that was very similar to the case that she's being prosecuted for. And so that's why it's very difficult for me to believe this narrative that she's spewing. And I mean, it goes back to what you said about her being a liar. But she was put on notice of it, and I don't think she cares.
Do they have the transcripts from when she did that, when she was
deposed?
Do they have the transcripts?
Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You will have them in your closet forever. You guys, I got the blue sports jacket. I got the leather coat. I got the cashmere socks. I've bought gifts for my sister and my dad, and I love it. A black leather coat? Are you kidding me? I can wear that anywhere. And what's so amazing is that these prices I can afford. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do this by partnering directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes that savings on directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/sobad. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
We will be back in just a second with the remainder of the show, but we, as we always do, have to get through some commercials right now, and I'm very proud of every product or any company that sponsors this show, and we got three great ones today. So our first one is Storyworth. Now, Storyworth, this is a really, really cool product that I, even before they sponsored the show, I got this for my mom a year and a half ago, and we still talk about this. She was actually bragging about it today. So this holiday season, you want to give gifts to loved ones that make them feel special and unique, just like the relationship that me and you guys share. So that's why I gave everyone that I care about Storyworth in my family. So Storyworth is an online service that helps you and your loved ones preserve precious memories and stories for years to come. It's a thoughtful and meaningful gift that connects you to those who matter the most.
So every week, Storyworth emails your relative or friend a thought-provoking question of your choice from their vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought to ask, like, you know, what's the bravest thing you've ever done in your life? Or if you could see into the future, what would you want to find out? For my mom, I wanted to ask all questions about her growing up. My thought with my mom was, I want to know the story of Becky Bailey's youth. And I wanted to share that with my niece and nephew and my sister. And so each week, it would email her these questions, and she got to think about it and then write something down, put a picture with it. It's kind of really amazing. So after 1 year, Storyworth will compile all your loved one's stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. And I really, really do mean that. We got one book that is all colored photos. She bought a couple books that are just black and white. I just got a black and white one, but I still think it's really cool. And it's beautiful. It's like this hardcover bound. It has my mom's picture from when she was a kid on the cover. It just really is one of the coolest gifts that I've ever given my mom. And she loved it so much. Reading the weekly stories help connect you with loved ones no matter how near or far apart you are. With Storyworth, I am giving those I love most a thoughtful, personal gift from the heart and preserving their memories and stories for years to come. So go to storyworth.com/sobad and save $10 on your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/sobad to save $10 on your first purchase. And I'm telling you, Becky Bailey loved this the most. So this is my mom approved. This made me look like such a badass at Christmas. I swear to God, I really felt like I did something right for once in my life. Our next sponsor is a new one. It's Ritual. So you guys know, as always, I have been trying to fight to stay healthy this whole year. I started off the year having COVID. That really stunk. I also got strep throat at a certain point. And finally, I'm like, you got to get healthy. 2022 has got to be about my health. And I think this next company can really help. So gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. Over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet. And 95% are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. So Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. It is formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. But Ritual didn't stop there. They invested in a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin. The results? Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in 12 weeks. Now, of course, I'm not a woman, but they do have men's vitamins, and I have been taking those. And you guys, I am jacked right now. I have so much energy. I actually feel really good. And I like things like this and companies like this that you can trust, because it takes so much to get out there and now work out every day and to eat right. And I feel like you need things like this where you can actually take a pill from a company you trust, and it's going to help you and provide you with nutrients and things to keep you going, to keep energized, to keep feeling young, looking young, all of this stuff. Right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. So visit ritual.com, that's ritual.com/sobad, and turn healthy habits into a ritual. Oh, I see what they did there. That's 10% off at ritual.com/sobad. That's a new one. I'm very excited. I am taking the men's vitamin. So if you guys do this, please, please, please let me know how you feel taking this. So our final one is, they were last week as well, is Wondery. We, of course, know the podcast company Wondery. Amazing. Their new show, I think you guys will find particular interest because of what it is about, which is kind of about reality shows. So in the early 2000s, millions of households across the world tuned in to watch contestants battle for the last rose or to be the final survivor on the island. Reality TV was beginning to dominate the airwaves, and every show needed to be bigger, flashier, and more scandalous than the last. But in the case of one infamous dating show, the real drama was happening off screen, and it would shape the future of reality TV. The reality TV series There's Something About Miriam seemed like a pretty standard dating competition. Six young men vied for the affection of Miriam Rivera, a beautiful model from Mexico. But when Miriam revealed that she was a trans woman during the show's finale, the on-screen drama sparked an international uproar about gender, sexuality, and whether reality television had finally gone too far. Wondery's new podcast miniseries, Harsh Reality, the story of Miriam Rivera, reveals what happened behind the scenes of this infamous TV show and how a multi-million dollar lawsuit and media fallout impacted the lives of Miriam and the contestants and changed the rules of reality television forever. You guys, we always talk about this in this show. We appreciate where we are with reality TV today, but we need to go back, and there's a rich history of how these shows came to be and all of these untold stories of behind the scenes. I think these shows are so amazing, but know what's even better are the stories behind the scenes with the actual crew, with the production, all of these things. We see it all the time or want to see it all the time with Bravo, but this is those stories, or this is the story for this occasion. So follow Harsh Reality, the story of Miriam Rivera on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery, plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. You guys, those were the commercials for this week, and now back for the remaining portion of the show.
We have a couple pages of them.
I'm sure the whole transcript's out there, but it would be fascinating.
In the couple pages you have, did she say anything of words? Did she say, like, I don't know what this is, you know? Like,
she kind of just, like, stayed denying it. Like, not, you know, it's not bad, all this stuff. Her and Stuart.
And I heard a lot of things about PK, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's another in terms of his financial dealings. DUI, he just got, we found out November 23rd, and they just released it yesterday. No.
What was his BAC?
A 0.073, I think.
But then when he got to the station, he blew right under the legal limit.
Okay. So he will probably get what is called a wet and reckless because of the low blood alcohol
Did you say wet and reckless?
Yeah. So
like WET?
Yes.
That's gross. Wet and red. That sounds like a Chippendales review. Like, what? I mean, like,
that's my forte. Our DUI I used to do a lot of DUI jury trials.
Oh God.
And yeah, generally a blood alcohol level like that, he's probably going to get a wet and reckless. And in the state of California, they've also created a new law where you can get a pretrial diversion for a DUI. So he could do something rehabilitative, like alcohol classes, AA classes, and then show proof to the court, and the court could dismiss it. And then
He's already apologized through his representation of, like, he regrets it. He had one drink at dinner and didn't realize.
Well, that's a lie, but.
of course it's a lie. Yeah, of course.
Can't get to a 0.07 with one alcohol or one drink. So I think the other one too, that Lauren put me on notice of, was the new Orange County housewife.
Sweet James.
Oh my God. Sweet James. And the doctor, Dr. Jen.
Oh, I didn't know. What's going on with Dr. Jen?
Apparently she's been sued a couple times for, like, medical malpractice stuff and, like, not paying contracts and stuff like that, which seems honestly pretty normal. I feel like these rich people don't love paying their contracts or their taxes.
And then Lauren, because we just got the Miami trailer that dropped. Is it Lisa? Is that her name?
Lisa Hochstein. Yeah. Yes. Lenny, her husband. Yeah.
And her husband's dealing with a lot of malpractice lawsuits as well, I believe, if that's how they're classifying them, because I think it was a botched surgery of sorts. So we're going to keep our eye out on that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it really seems like, you know, for the business you're in, business is good right now, because there's really not. And the thing is, this, you know, goes through all of pop culture right now. I did want to touch on Astroworld, because you guys really did a great job of explaining what exactly happened, the timeline of events, which is very, was very huge for me. And also, I found it fascinating that TikTok, you were able to piece together a timeline, and from different shots of the stage, you could hear certain things in the back of each one, and you would assemble a timeline. And I was not aware of just how long he had known and he kept going. Like, that was very new to me, where I had switched. I kind of was like, well, you know, you can't blame the guy for then. I listened to your podcast and I really came out of that of like, fuck that guy. Like, that guy should not be performing. Like, I mean, he has a whole history of this, obviously. But then just today I was reading that he has entered his first, was it a formal plea of saying he has no, he should not be able to be sued at all. Correct? Did you see this?
Yeah. So he filed, so this is, we're in civil land again with Astroworld at this point, but we should keep an eye out because I think criminal charges will eventually be filed. I think the homicide narcotic unit is still conducting their investigation, but he was asking the court, basically his attorney, which everyone's making a big hoopla about this. Like, there are certain things you have to do as an attorney to make sure that you are fully representing your client, and you don't want to be an ineffective attorney, and you have to do everything you can to represent your client to the fullest extent. And so by doing that, his attorney filed the motion to dismiss, saying, hey, look, he had nothing to do with it. And I don't know, did we get a ruling on it? Did the court make a ruling at this point?
I don't believe so. I think it was just that he filed this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is not shocking to me, you know, because you don't want to be an ineffective attorney and you want to represent your client. And you have to do everything.
We knew this was coming. We knew that he was going to file.
Of course.
It was probably something like this.
He's going to do everything he can to get out of it. And
I believe Live Nation filed something similar as well.
Probably. Yeah.
And it's the way the litigation ball like starts rolling. It's like someone accuses you of something and you say, I absolutely did not do that. And you can't say that I did that. And then that's when like the process starts and we start doing discovery and chatting with people and doing depositions and stuff. So it's, he sort of has to say like, oh, I didn't do it. Like, leave me out of this. But we all know that it's very likely that he's gonna, I mean, I doubt that a judge would ever let him out of responsibility for that.
No, I think it's definitely an issue for the trier of fact, being a jury. I don't see a judge making a ruling on such a controversial topic. And I would assume this whole case is going to settle out of court.
I mean, settle out of court. I mean, but like, how do you put a dollar amount? I mean, people are talking. I mean, there's so many lawsuits filed for even the people that are living still from Astroworld, you know, that putting them through this is that, I mean, and, you know, in your opinion, you know, do you think the legal system still works?
That's a good question.
I do. I think our legal system works and it's set up to work. I think it's flawed. I think there's areas just like medicine, you know, you hope that the medical field, you know, is successful and it works, but there's probably still flaws that exist and you're still practicing.
Yeah.
And with a situation like Travis Scott, there's so many victims and the same, I guess we were comparing it to, I know they're two completely different situations, but the shooting in Las Vegas. Like, that is a concert where you have multiple victims, people that were witnesses to it, multiple fatalities. And that, unfortunately, litigation's ongoing because there's so much discovery. There's so many statements. It's so voluminous in nature that it does take a really long time. And that's the problem I have with these really wealthy, even going back to our housewives, like what we want to see is we want to see them take accountability for their actions. And it's just disgusting to see, I guess, Travis Scott, even though he was doing it with purpose, like the motion to dismiss. I think what people want to see is to him just write a check and say, here you go. I'm so sorry.
He can't do that though. He doesn't want to do that. I mean, like,
and that's the problem. That's what's upsetting. I don't think that's our legal system. I think it's the defendants who are unwilling to take accountability for their actions.
I mean, that is the thing. I mean, like, you know, these things did happen and they happen on your watch. And with the astral world, especially, is that this could have been prevented. Like we knew, you know, is that if he likes to rage, like that's his whole thing, then you got to have ample security. So when people rage, they're protected, and you got to have ample like medical staff. They only had medical staff for like, you know, what, like half the people or
yeah, it was very insufficient. And even to the point of the fact, the way that the stage was set up was completely out of line. Like it was set up specifically so that Apple Music could get the best view of the stage to live stream this concert. And they knew that it would be detrimental to the people in the crowd to have the stage like that. But they did it anyway for the Apple Music and for the money. And going back to kind of what you asked about, you know, the legal system and if it's working and all that, I think there's a real question, at least for a lot of people that I know, and at least for me, where it's like, it seems to me like people aren't really getting in trouble so much for the things that they do. And it's like a lot of people are pushing the line because they have all this money that it's like, I mean, to Kylie, or I'm sorry, Kylie's not responsible for this at all, but let's say this happened to her and she has $1 billion. To write a check to make all this go away for someone with that much money, it almost makes it seem like a lawless land, because you can just settle anything with a check, or like Tom Girardi, get so far in your career by manipulating the legal system.
Or even marry this week, giving out purses and shoes to the girls on Salt Lake, you know? So
and weird. Then wanting it back.
I mean, it is a weird society that we live in, and I'm sure it always has been, but money seems to be the forefront of so many things right now. And I find it really, I don't know, disturbing for so many, many reasons. And I just keep going back to the amount of time that he knew something was wrong. And then, I mean, it was something like 30 to 40 minutes pass.
Yeah.
You know, something really ridiculous, and people were passing out, and people, I mean, I'm honestly shocked hearing all the things and reading all the things since then that only we've had 10 fatalities.
So I agree with you. That shocks me every single time I see the number 10. I'm like, that is crazy. I thought there would be way more people, but you know that we don't have the running tally of the people who are really suffering from life altering issues, like their PTSD from this. And so, yeah, 10 people died, but the injuries also for the people who are living are so outrageous. Like, and I don't understand how they had people going up on the stage saying like, people are getting hurt, people are dying, people are being crushed, and how someone could go all the way onto the stage at a concert and no one stopped the show. Like, that scares me for so many reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I was, I knew a couple of people that were in the audience for the, where the Vegas shooter was, and they still deal with PTSD from it. They get so, I mean, imagine, you know, what, 50,000 people that have PTSD from a, you know, a huge event. And I know we live in a very litigious society and everybody sues everybody for everything, but these are real issues. And I thought the other disgusting part, and BetterHelp is a sponsor of this show, and I don't want to, but I did find that weird that there was a partnership with BetterHelp, and you could say, well, that's a really good thing, you know, and I'm not, I mean, BetterHelp, I think, is a good company, but, you know, was that a time to be partnering with any company? You know, like, was that Travis Scott partnered with BetterHelp to get people therapy?
Yeah. It is interesting. And I wonder if there was any financial benefit from that.
So from my understanding, there was no financial benefit, and
thank God.
They partnered, from what I gathered from my research, they partnered with his Cactus Jack charity so that it could be like the therapy would be funded that way. However, it was restricted to like three sessions within a 3-month period or whatever. Like, there were definitely restrictions on that. I feel like it might have been a better move for BetterHelp to just be like, hey, we're offering this service if you were there, and not really partner so directly with Travis, well, in my opinion.
That's the other thing that I you know, Travis Scott is headlining Coachella this year in April.
Oh, come on.
For two weekends. And do they stay with Travis Scott as the headliner? Will Travis Scott perform again? At this point now, if he does, that's even further liability, right? Like, and you could say, okay, Golden Voice, who puts on Coachella, they're like, okay, we're going to hire 1,000 medics and 1,000 security just so this guy can play. But still, aren't you leaving yourself then open in certain ways?
How do they get insurance after something like that? Like, how could they have event insurance, like knowing that 10 people died at the last event he put on?
But the thing is the personal insurance, but I wonder with Coachella, if, because Coachella is such a money machine that they know this is going to be such a huge deal that they say, hey, look, it's part of your contract, like an indemnification clause saying, hey, we'll cover you and we'll use our insurance if you just play. Because think how popular, and I mean, people are, first of all, it's the first Coachella back from COVID.
Yeah.
And second of all, we're going to have Travis Scott, who was this huge controversial figure in 2021, headlining the concert. And it will be interesting. And this is something Lauren and I have actually talked about, is I don't know why municipalities and local agencies aren't requiring artists of his magnitude, like people that are bringing in over 10,000 people, say, for a concert outdoor with standing room only, why they're not required to submit safety plans. You know, a safety plan to the city, to the board of supervisors, whoever, to the county council, city attorney, and say, hey, look, like, these are the measures I'm taking to make sure your community's safe. And I just think it would be beneficial. And hopefully
this is what happens. I mean, and that's what I know Alec Baldwin was talking about the Rust set and the killing of the director of photography, of like, well, what can be put in place from this point on, you know, which is another interesting event. But so I think it's a real make or break, this Coachella thing, because Coachella can either, like you said, keep him and really stand up for, and if they do, they give him a career for the rest of his life. Coachella, because they're giving him a path, they're giving him like, no, we stand by you. We think it's going to, and most likely they'll make sure that nobody, you know, quote unquote, dies. But then on the other hand, if they, you know, do cancel him, then I think, that guy's going to have a really hard time performing for a very, very long time.
Yeah. And I think you make a good point. Like, I think that it's going to take a huge festival to cancel and cut him off from performing to kind of set the tone for the rest of the festivals and other organizations that may hire him on as, or even him going off and doing his own tour.
Well, why he even would want to is like upsetting to me. Like
money.
And he would, I know money, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where it's like, man, like, I think the sometimes, even with, like we talked about, to bring it back to Erica Jane, is I think we sometimes want these kind of personal things to see that you went through something, to see that you're going through something very painful. And we almost, there is this kind of, the audience is a jury in a way, and we want to see you affected by what happened and what you potentially caused. And it's been very unsatisfying in terms of somebody like Erica Jane. I think Jen Shaw will go to prison never admitting her guilt.
Oh, she'll never admit it. She's going to appeal that.
She's going to appeal that till the end of time.
Wait, wait. So if she appeals it, does that prevent her from going into prison, or does she have to go to prison?
No. So she can, if she is found guilty and they sentence her, so she'll likely sit in county. If she's found guilty, they'll take her into custody, remand her right then and there. She will sit in a county jail until the sentencing. At that time, the prosecution will make their pitch for sentencing, the defense will make their pitch for sentencing, and then the judge will make a ruling. And sometimes with jury trials, they make the recommendation for sentencing. And in that moment, the judge will say, hey, you're going to prison for 15 years, and then they ship her off to state prison. And during that process, she'll submit appeals, because they'll look at evidentiary issues, they'll look at, you know, was the jury tainted? They'll look at all those
things. I was just thinking about Coachella too. The other headliner, one of the other headliners, is Rage Against the Machine. And I'm like, that's a lot of anger for one weekend.
Yeah. You know?
That's like, a lot of mosh pitting.
Yeah. Okay. So as we start winding down here, this has gone way too fast. Has there been any kind of legal maneuvering or something that you've been in admiration of watching, like, ooh, Jen Shah's lawyer did something really interesting. I really respect that. Like, has there been ever anything that you've learned or like, that was a very good legal move?
I think for me, I've learned what not to do more so than what to do.
That's
like, fair. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of, I mean, even with Jen coming out with this motion of, hey, the Homeland Security people were involved in the Hustler show. So I don't you know, so just things that that attorney has done, the Chaudhry firm and the way they've written things, I've just been like, oh, I know never to do that.
Yeah.
But the, like being excited and learning things, I think has been from like watching other people. Like, I've learned a lot from Emily D. Baker, and I've learned a lot from working with Cash. Like, it's really from hearing other people talk about it and stuff and hearing their opinion.
Yeah. I don't think that I've learned anything that's groundbreaking from, you know, the counsel that's representing Erica Jane or representing Jen Shah. And we will say though, in that Jen Shah episode, the episode where she sits down with her attorney, I'm positive that that was just some random person she called for a legal consultation that was willing to film. I don't think that was her attorney, because I can't imagine an attorney representing somebody in a criminal proceeding of that magnitude would allow a camera in to waive attorney-client privilege. And so
I didn't know about, like, a Homeland Security person did speak. I mean, to me, that was even shocking of like, yo, like, should you be speaking? Like, this is still like, listen, I mean, like, I'm all for Jen getting prosecuted, but I thought, like, isn't there some kind of like, maybe don't speak until the trial happens?
So there is a local rule in a local criminal rule. And that is the rule that Jen Shah's defense attorneys brought up in that memo that motion that Lauren referenced. It's the rule 23.1. And it basically says, like, you can't make statements that could potentially prejudice a defendant during an ongoing criminal proceeding. But I don't think that there's much weight in Jen Shah's motion. I think it's a lot of conclusory statements that aren't supported by any set of facts. And I think the government's opposition to her motion is much stronger, because they actually put in all of the statements that were made by the Homeland Security agents.
And they actually cite law, where Jen's attorney like never cited any law. She's just like, it hurt our feelings.
And yeah, Lauren brings up a really good point. Like, you can make some whiny argument to the court, but it has to be substantiated by some type of existing law. And she really doesn't do that. She barely states the local rule in her motion. And then she just says, look, this prejudiced my client. It's tainted. The jury pool's tainted. We can't do this. Like, just dismiss the case. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us know, with criminal trials that have huge publicity, that's not enough. Like, look at the OJ Simpson trial.
Yeah.
That trial went on. Yeah. And that was a man who was being convicted of murder that was being publicized everywhere. I mean, it didn't carry a lot of weight, but I think the government's opposition was great. They cite case law. They use language from other cases saying, hey, look, this isn't overly prejudicial, in no way affects her right to a fair trial. We're going to proceed with the voir dire process of jury selection as we would normally. And then they also bring up the fact, lest we not forget, that Jen Shah's still on camera talking about this.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, making jokes about it. I mean, we'll see, you know. It is. And also the Southern District of New York, from what I hear, is very good. You know, like, ooh, they know so what they're doing. And I think that's another very fascinating thing. I was talking to the Bravo docket last week, and I said, oh, you guys need to do a show for Bravo where you, you know, prosecute on both sides of like famous Bravo cases, even like who's guilty, Monique or Candace, in terms of that thing. Maybe you should, like, you know, Bravo docket should be on one side, you guys be on the other.
That's a good idea. We should do trial.
And then there should be like a Supreme Court of judges or whatever.
That is a great idea. You know?
Lauren, I'm going to sue anybody that takes that.
Yeah, don't take that. We're doing that. That sounds so good.
Well, Lauren used to do something very similar on our stories, where she would do these little criminal trials with one of our followers, and Classic Skytop, she has an Instagram page, and they would go back and forth and state their case. and then render a verdict at the end. And it would be so fun to do that with another set of attorneys.
Well, I think that's where we're at too, though. Yeah. Because, I mean, like, there's so
with
many...
real evidence and like real arguments. That would be wild. Yeah. Andy, but, are you listening?
Yeah, no, he's definitely not listening.
it's like the people's couch, but the people's bench, you know?
That's exactly it. Because I said you could switch out like the jury or this, like the judge or whatever, to like a different like celebrity judge, or, God. Meme accounts could be a jury, you know, like the whole thing. It would be really interesting, I think. And I think we're really at that point.
Oh, my God.
But think about it, every day we're like judge, jury, and executioner. Looking through our Instagram accounts with all these things. Anyways, we all have strong opinions on them. But I love your show because you actually deal in facts. And I think that there's a huge market for that. So the show is allegedly Bravo. How do we support you guys? I know you have a Patreon now. So first thing first, I know, is to subscribe to the podcast, folks. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, we always tell everybody, go leave a 5-star review even before you listen to the podcast. Do that as a solid, because it is the freest, easiest thing that you can do for a podcaster without having to pay them anything. Your reviews actually do mean anything. But how else do we support?
We have a really fun Instagram page at Allegedly Bravo. That's always fun to just be chatting with people. But we also have a Patreon page where we have different tiers that you can support us at. $1 a month will get you a newsletter every month. $3 will get you all ad-free episodes. And then we start having bonus content and things like that. So if you want to head over to our Patreon, that would be great. But just listening to our podcast and hanging out with us on Instagram and just having fun.
We love interacting with our followers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it really is. It is the coolest thing. I mean, I don't get to do it as much as I would like to, but it really is the best thing about all of this, is the people involved, because they are kind of like the coolest, smartest, funniest people. I think the people that watch Bravo, you know?
Yeah. And they always have like such good tea. Like they slide in with just like the best tea in the DMs. And I'm like, if everyone could just do that, like my life would be so happy.
Lauren, when's the next time you're going to be taking the bar?
February 2022.
Like literally, I'm like, oh, is that a year and a half from now?
I know.
What year is it? But yeah, the end of February, fingers crossed, I will fucking pass this motherfucker this time.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys. I hope you'll come back on again. This was really way too fast. And let us know if we can do anything else for you. But you guys, Allegedly Bravo, please go support, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Betches.